reading today is from Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people.
Anybody remember these things? Actually, in a file in my office. I thought I still had one in there, yeah. We don't use these very much anymore. Anybody still use one of these very often? Okay, Sandra does. All right, but most of us don't. This has got, I think, West Virginia on one side, Ohio on the other side. We don't really use these much more. But I remember when there was time when we did. Matter of fact, if you were going on a trip, you would get out the maps and you would sometimes even mark your route on here so you knew where you were going, so you could find your way. And sometimes if you're going on a trip, you might have to have two or three or four maps. You know, you might have to have one for the state, and then when the cities you were getting into, you might have to have one for the city and so forth. And so we had all these maps and things. Of course, then, several years ago now, I'm going to try to fold it up now. But we went to MapQuest. Does anybody remember MapQuest? Okay, you pulled it up on your computer, and then you'd print it out. You could put it in a route, and they would give it to you and show everything. And it was okay. I mean, these maps are pretty good. You could follow them pretty well, but they're pretty bulky in the car. Trying to figure out, you know, open up the map to figure out where you're going is kind of difficult. So then we went to MapQuest, and so printed out these nice things. But I found out MapQuest wasn't always right. I remember one time we went to go see some friends of Josh's. We were taking him up to visit them up in northern Kentucky. And it had us turn left when we should have turned right. Okay? And so it was okay. But then you remember the GPS that we had. I don't know how many of you ever had an actual GPS, but I bought an actual one. Mine was a Magellan. I think there's Garmin and some others. But it was on there. And they were good, but they weren't always up to date. I remember I was driving one place one time, and all of a sudden I looked at the GPS, and I was following the road, but it had me going, I was driving off-road according to it, because the route had been changed just a little bit, and where the road was gone, but where the road hadn't been, there was the new road. And so we had all of that. And now today, when I left my phone down there, now today most of us probably, if we go anywhere, we get out our phone, pull up either Google Maps. I use something called Waze because it tells me where the police are and things. And not that I just wanted to be able to wave and say hi. I'm going to be friendly to them. Anyhow, but, you know, it helps you with some things like that. But it's usually very, very accurate, you know, most of the time. Occasionally, some things come up. But with Waze, there are ways you can show people, can change the map and let people know that there are changes. But it also tells us when there are cars on the side of the road. It tells us when there's roadkill in the road. You can, all this stuff you can find out as you're on the GPS. But it's really helpful for guidance. And I know Karen and I, we were up in Cincinnati one time. We were trying to get from one place to the next. And we said, when we were in college, how did we get anywhere? We can't even remember how we knew how to get from this place to that place. Usually we had to ask somebody or get a map or something. There was no internet. There was nothing to tell us. And so we just kind of went. But we always seemed to get where we needed to get to. But today it's so much easier to find that way. And it tells you, you know, turn right here, turn left there, Turn on this street, turn on that street. And so it's just so much easier. As the children of Israel left Egypt, they needed guidance. Now think about this. They hadn't been allowed to leave the country for 400 years. So their sense of direction, their sense of how to get from one place to another was gone. That was no longer a part of what they'd done because they had been there in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. So what we see God leads them in a form of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire in the night so that he could light the way for them when they would travel at night. And he was always there to lead them. They were to follow. Wherever the cloud went, that's where they were to go. Wherever the pillar of fire went, that's where they were to go. To stay with God. To follow God. So that he might take them in. And what's interesting, we'll talk about this a little bit more, is he didn't take them by the most direct route. He took them by a different route. And we'll talk about why he did that here in a little bit. But they were to follow. And for us, Jesus said that if we are to be his disciples, we are to follow him. Now in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says this, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." And so when we read this in Exodus, we find out it was written for a purpose, not just to tell us a story, but that we might learn something from it, that it might teach us something. And even this passage where it just talks about God leading them in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, there is a lesson for us to learn. And so what do we learn? Well, if we're going to follow Jesus, as he told us to do, there's some things that we need to understand. And the first is this, we need someone to follow. We need someone to follow. In Isaiah 53:6, it says this. It says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now notice what he says. He says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. We turn to our own way." And that's true, isn't it? I mean, just look at our world today. People are going their own way. We see that on the news every night. You know, every night we hear somebody who decided they were going to go their way. They weren't going to do what society thought was right. They weren't going to do what God thought was right. They were going to do what they thought was right. And there's a phrase in the book of Judges that I think fits today's times. In Judges 21:25, this is New Living Translation, it says, "In those days Israel had no king." And notice this. "All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes." All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And isn't that what we're seeing today? We see the same thing. People decide what they think is right, what they want to do, what they think is the best thing for them, and they do it. No matter who it hurts, no matter what happens, no matter the consequences, they just do what they think is right. But you know what? It's pretty much been that way since the beginning of time, hasn't it? That people do what they want to do. And they don't care what anybody else thinks. And too often, they don't even care about what God thinks. And so we need someone to follow. We need somebody who is going to be in charge. You ever play follow the leader? You got to have a leader if you're going to follow someone, right? And that's what we need. People need a leader. We talked about sheep. And who is the leader of the sheep? The shepherd. There's a shepherd who leads the sheep. He leads the flock. He takes them here and there. He takes them to pasture. We look at the 23rd Psalm and it says, "He leadeth me beside the what? The still waters." Right? He leads me. The shepherd leads. And so we need someone to follow. And that someone, is, of course, is God. Of course, today, for us, we know God as Jesus. And so we need to have a leader. But then also, when we follow, we have to stay close to that leader. We have to stay close to them. I remember years ago when I was a youth minister, we used to take trips with the kids. And in those days, we'd just get in a bunch of cars. We might have a church van, but then we'd have two or three cars, sometimes four or five. There's one time I think we had, I think it was here even, we had like 10 cars behind the van because we had 50-something people go whitewater rafting with us. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but that was a great time. But when you get into a group like that, especially back in those days, this is before cell phones, all right, before GPS, before MapQuest, all you had was maps. I remember one time we were in a line and somebody in the back had gotten a little bit farther behind and we got off at an exit and we sat there and we waited and this car never came because they were so far behind they didn't see us get off to get gas. And they went on ahead until they realized, trying to catch up, until they realized we weren't anywhere in sight. So they turned around and came back to see if they could find us. You know, without cell phones, that was an ordeal because we didn't know what to do. We didn't know where they'd gone. We didn't know what had happened. We were getting worried, and they happened to just show up. But they didn't know where we were either. We could have been way ahead somewhere, and so it was really hard. You got to stay close to the leader in those situations. But they'd lost sight of us, and they missed the exit. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith." Now notice what it says there. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on Him. You see, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're prone to wander off course. We're prone to just go our own way and go the wrong way. Just like that person, when they couldn't see us any longer, they just kept going when we'd gone this way. And they wandered off course. The same thing can happen with us. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to be focused on where He is leading us. Have you ever gotten caught up in some sin and wondered how you got there? The odds are that you took your eyes off Jesus and did what was right in your own sight. And 99.9% of the time, probably it's more than 99.99999, there may be a time when you do the right thing on your own, but 99% of the time when we take our eyes off Jesus, it leads us into circumstances that we wish that we would have avoided. I've told you about my arrest as a teenager, and it's because I wasn't following Jesus. At that point, I was following the crowd. I was following what everybody else was doing and trying to be a part of that. And you know what I found out? That the crowd is just a bunch of lost sheep. That's all it is. It's a bunch of lost sheep. People who are trying to find their own way, but they aren't following anybody. They're just trying and they're lost. They're going their own direction and they really don't know where they're at. And so when you follow the crowd, you're just following a bunch of lost sheep. When you follow Jesus, you've got direction. You have a place to go. And if you've ever played follow the leader, you know you have to keep your eyes on the leader. That's the one who tells you. You know, he's the one that shows you, or she is the one who shows you what to do. You know, whether they're skipping or hopping or if they're going this way or going that way, you have to follow them. Now, sometimes you can follow someone who is following the leader. And you remember Paul? He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And that should be our goal. Not to be braggers and say, "Look how good I am," but to be able to say, "Hey, I'm following Christ. Follow me. I'm someone you can follow." That means, though, then we got to really follow Christ, doesn't it? And maybe that's why we are hesitant to say that, because we don't necessarily really want to follow Jesus as much as we should. We're still kind of wanting to do our own thing. But we follow the leader. Or we follow those who are following the leader. Because that's so important. You've got to stay close. You've got to stay right there with him. You've got to fix your eyes on him. You remember Peter? You know, he got out of the boat, which, man, that was something else that he did that. Never take that away from Peter, that he got out of the boat when the rest of them stayed in the boat. But when he gets out there on the water, he's walking on the water with Jesus. He's doing fine until what? He starts looking around. And that's when he starts to sink. Just something for us to remember and to learn from as well. But we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus if we're going to follow him, if we want the good life that he has promised us. And so we follow even when we don't know exactly where we're being taken. Right? We follow God no matter where he takes us to. And sometimes we don't always understand. We don't know where we're going. Notice in verse 17, God had his reasons for taking the Israelites a different route than the most direct. You see that it says? It says in verse 17, it said, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Okay? Why did God think that? Because they would have. Right? Because we see, even when he takes them to the Red Sea, that they're thinking, well, we should have stayed in Egypt. And we hear that throughout their time in the wilderness. We should have stayed in Egypt. So if they'd have faced war, because these were not warriors. Remember, this was just a band of slaves. They had never been in an army. They weren't an army at that point. They were going to have to be trained and so forth to be a good army. But God says if they face war, they may turn back and go back to slavery. And we talked about that the last time, about moving on. But that's why he did it. So God always has a reason why he wants you to go someplace. I remember, how many of us are really good at always listening to our GPS? Right? You ever have some times where your GPS says to go this way, and you go, I know better, I'm going to go this way. All right? And we do that. I do that sometimes. Whenever I come back from Northern Kentucky, from Cincinnati, and I'm coming down 471, it always wants to take me off and take me on to 275 over to Wilder and up that way. I don't want to go that way. So I always go the other way. I don't know if it saves me time or not. I don't know if it's longer. I don't care. I just want to go that way. And we're kind of like that sometimes, aren't we? But sometimes we need to trust our GPS. I remember one time we were going, and I'm not sure exactly where. I think we're up on 75 someplace. And there was, I think we were going to have to see Josh when he lived up in Dayton area. And we were driving, and all of a sudden we got in this traffic. I mean, it was just standstill. I mean, you would just creep a little bit and go on. And my GPS said, get off at this exit. I think, where is it going to take me? I have no clue. I tried to look ahead, see if I could tell. I really couldn't tell where it was taking me to. And I thought, do I get off here? And so I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do it and see what happens. And you know what? It took me this roundabout way, but pretty soon I'm getting back on the interstate, and guess what? I can see it still backed up that way, but it's going full speed ahead up here. So it took me around a big section of traffic. And only way I got there was because I trusted the GPS, which I'm not saying I always do that. I still don't. There are still times when I think, I don't know if I want to do that. But it worked that time. I don't know why I don't trust it every time. There's a little lesson in that, isn't there? You know, sometimes God leads us to places where he can demonstrate his power and his faithfulness. You know, sometimes he takes us in a roundabout way because there is a reason for it. Just like here, he instead of taking them the most direct route to the promised land, to the land that he promised, he takes them to the Red Sea. And we know what happens because we talked about that the last time. They're stuck there on the Red Sea, and who comes after them? Pharaoh and his army. He brings everybody with him. And you know, a lot of times people think that he's bringing them because he wants to bring them back to be his slaves. Maybe. But I wonder if his sorrow, his grief of losing his first son had turned into anger. And all he wanted to do was destroy the people that he thought were responsible for his son dying. So he's bringing his whole army to confront them. And that's why the Israelites are saying, why did you bring us out here just to die? We should have stayed in Egypt. Because their backs are against the Red Sea. And here's the army of Pharaoh here in front of them. They have no place to go. And yet, what happens? God shows his power to save them. He shows his power to save them. He splits the sea, and there's dry land, which to me is amazing that there is dry land. Because you know what's on the bottom of a pond? Mud. Yeah, if you've ever swam in a pond before, and you go down to the bottom, you know how nasty it is. You know? Can you imagine at the bottom of sea how much mud and gunk is down there? I don't know. But it's dry. and the people go through. And when the Egyptians try to follow, of course, the water comes back down. And so he shows to the Israelites right there, he says, I had the power to save you. And that's what God tries to show us, is that he has the power to save us through his son, Jesus Christ. But then, after they get through the Red Sea, he takes them into the wilderness. And the people get thirsty. And what does he do? He supplies water for them. He turns some bitter water into good water. He brings water out of a rock. They get hungry. And so he provides for them manna, which basically means, what's that? You know, what is this? You know, and it's something, we don't know exactly what it was, but something that came every morning, was on the ground. They would go out and pick it up, but it was only good for one day. If they tried to keep it the next day, it was rotten. But on Friday, they had to pick it up for 2 days. And for some reason, it was still good for 2 days, but only on Friday and Saturday. No other time. What's God shown them? He provides for them. And when the people got tired of eating nothing but manna, which, you know, sometimes we look at that and think, man, they weren't very grateful. How many of us like to eat the same thing over and over and over? How many of us would like to eat oatmeal every day? All right. Or how many of us would, even if it was chocolate cake, would like to eat chocolate cake every day? As much as I like chocolate, I don't think I would want to eat chocolate cake every day, every meal, all the time. All right. I think after a while I'd get tired of it and I'd want something else. All right. And so God, when they complain about that, what does God do? He sends quail. And then they're so thick, they can just knock them out of the sky with a stick. And he provides for them. And so he leads them into the wilderness. Why? So they will see that he could supply their needs. He could supply what they needed. And God does the same for us. Sometimes he leads us into a wilderness. Sometimes he leads us into times of trouble so that we know that he's there for us. You know, too often we think that when we have troubles and trials that God has abandoned us. And we want to know, where is he? You hear that sometimes with tragedies in our nation. People say, where is God at? Well, he's there. He never leaves. He's just providing ways for us to see his love for us and to be reminded of his presence and our need for his presence. A verse that we quote often is James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and it says this: consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, I think we need to pay attention to what's being tested. I think it's not our strength. He's not testing how strong we are. He's not testing our willpower, you know, whether we have willpower to withstand the temptation or the trial that's coming. It's not even our obedience that he's testing. It's our faith. Now, faith does lead to obedience, but what he's really testing is whether we're putting our trust in him. When we go through these trials, when we go through these testings, that we go through, you know, different things that are happening in our life that we would rather not go through, he's testing whether we really trust him. Do we really trust the one that we say we follow? And so just like trusting the GPS, we need to put our trust in Jesus to lead us when we don't understand the way that he's taking us. Because he does take us on some strange routes sometimes. Just like my GPS did that one time. But it's to get me somewhere. To get me to a place that I need to be. And to do it in a way that helps me. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we read this: we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want you to pay attention to that, because it doesn't say he makes everything good. It doesn't say that everything's going to be good for us, that as a Christian we're never going to have any problems. It doesn't say that. It says we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Get that? That when we're going through trials, when bad things happen, when we even make bad choices that cause bad things to happen, He can still use those for good. This morning we were talking, we were starting a study in Matthew in Sunday school. And we were going through the genealogies. And one of the things you see, there are some bad things that happened in those genealogies. But yet God used even those bad situations to bring about good, to bring the Messiah to us. And so we just have to trust the one who's leading us. We need to trust our leader. Just as the Israelites had to trust that pillar that it was going to take them the right direction and where they needed to go, we've got to trust our pillar, Jesus. And we must trust no matter what, and no matter where we go as we follow Him, because He will work it out for our good, just like He did the Israelites. Now, sadly, they had a hard time trusting Him. You know, even after time and time again He proved He was trustworthy, they weren't able to trust Him enough. Because when they get to just the outskirts of the Promised Land, after traveling through the wilderness, having God provide for them, seeing time and time again that God was taking care of them, when they get to the Promised Land, they don't go in. They're afraid. Because some spies went in and 10 of them came back and said, "Oh my goodness, there's giants there. There's all this stuff. We can't go in there and do this." And the reason is because, again, they're trusting on their own power. They didn't trust the one who'd gotten them there so far. So don't let the distractions of this life, the troubles, the successes, the tragedies, keep you from following Jesus. He wants to lead you to a promised land if you'll follow Him. Don't go astray. Stay with Him. He's the one we follow. He's our leader. We need to keep our eyes on Him. We need to follow Him, trusting wherever He leads us, He will be there with us. And He will lead us to that which is good. Life is better when we follow the leader. Let's pray. Father God, too often we're like the Israelites, and we see the good that You do in our lives. We understand how You are, we understand that You are there for us, but yet, Father, sometimes we let distractions, the things of this life that are cause us pain, the things in this life that cause us trouble, the things in this life that just bring sorrow and grief. We allow those things to distract us, to lead us astray. We allow even the pleasures of this life to do that. Things that are good, which we somehow twist and use inappropriately, that can be lead us astray. Father, You give us Your commands. You give us, show us Your will through Your word, so that we might know how to follow You the best. And yet, Father, we too often want to balk. We want to do things our way. We want to do like the people in the book of Judges and do what we think is right instead of what You tell us and know is right for us. Help us to change, Father. Help us to follow You always, to follow Jesus, to follow Him every day, Father, not that so that we might really not turn us to go astray, but stay on path, stay on track, so that we might one day be in that land that's promised to us. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.